We go to the Rebel Wireless Hotline now to bring in our good friend from CBSSports.com, covers the NFL, does a great job of it, Clark Judge. Clark, you were here last week watching OTA practices and wanted to first get your thoughts, big picture, on what you saw from this Browns team.
Well, you have to like what's going on, Vic, only because it's change, you know, and change can be good. And they certainly needed to change from what's been going on there in recent years. The club has a tough time winning ball games. I think they have a tough time moving forward. They have a tough time competing in that division. So you look at that ball club, and it's in the throes of change. I mean, not just the coaching staff and administration, but the roster as well. So I was watching Barkevious Mingo with you. I thought he looked pretty good. Actually, I thought Whedon looked pretty good. When you and I were watching him, we were talking about how well he throws deep. He looked pretty good, but it's May. I mean, so I can't form too many opinions there. I have some concerns about the secondary. I also have some concerns about the division they're in. There are three very strong teams in that division, and I think if Cleveland Browns are looking for this team to rise up this year and compete with them, I think they're going to be disappointed. That said, I think the Browns are at least have a foundation in place that they can build on. Now, the question is, do they draft right? You know, do they make the right personnel decisions, trades, that sort of thing? That remains to be seen.
And you made the point about change, Clark, and change comes when you're having sustained struggle, which is what this team has had in too many seasons of four wins or five wins. But change for change's sake isn't really the answer. The answer is, how do you get better? As you look at this club and as you've observed the Browns over a period of time, what are the areas that you need to see to believe that this change can be meaningful and make an impact?
Well, let's start with the quarterback. I need to see somebody who can hold the job there for longer than a year or 2 years. He's got to have playmakers on the outside. I think you've got a guy who can run the ball in Trent Richardson, but do you have the guys who can catch it on the outside? I want to see some. If you think you've got a franchise quarterback, and I don't know that you do, and I don't think anyone there does either, but if you have a quarterback you believe in, you better give him some wide receivers he can believe in. And I haven't seen that for a long time there, and that's what always bothered me. Going back, you know, to when Colt McCoy was there, and they had a nice run a couple years ago where they beat New Orleans, and then they were defending Super Bowl champion, and they beat New England, you know, and then he took the Jets to overtime. I thought, boy, I think Colt McCoy may make something of himself. And then he got hurt, and he wasn't the same again. And I always felt that you never could really get a gauge on how good or bad he was until you gave him some receivers on the outside, and unfortunately they never did. And you bring a point about change, and you're absolutely right. I mean, the best franchises don't change overnight. They don't change every 2 or 3 years. You can't win that way by blowing things up. And just because you have a losing season or two losing seasons doesn't mean that everyone goes out the door. And unfortunately, that's been too often the case, I think, in Cleveland. And maybe you have some people in there now, and I'd start with Joe Banner, who might be the beginnings of something different, only because he came from an organization that was stable, did not change things like we change channels on the TV. He didn't do that. They stayed pretty much intact for many, many years in Philadelphia. And they had a lot of success there. I think if you can repeat that, you can have success here, but you've got to have success on the field as well as off, because if you don't, then there's going to be that thought by the owner or ownership that we should change people and bring in somebody different just because that'll be good, right? Not necessarily, and that's been demonstrated in Cleveland. But again, I think it starts with the quarterback. You look at, you know, his outside receivers, and the offensive line's fine. I question the secondary, especially when you're playing in a division with Flacco and Roethlisberger and Andy Dalton. I mean, I think you've got to find a secondary can stop some people. But more importantly, I kind of worry about putting points on the board.
Yeah, and so you hit that point, and obviously the quarterback play has to improve there. Those receivers have to be dynamic and make plays. But most of the faith in how this is going to come together, besides players playing better, besides people like Josh Gordon performing better in year two and Greg Little performing better in year three of their careers, you mentioned Trent Richardson, it's the presence of Norv Turner and Rob Chudzinski, right? That whole offensive plan to bring more explosiveness here. You've followed Turner's career closely. You know a lot about Chud. Your thoughts on how you can see them implementing that sort of impact again right away?
Well, I think the best thing that Rob Chudzinski did was to bring in Norv Turner as an offensive coordinator. He's a quarterback's best friend. I've seen him and known him for years, and he's a guy that Troy Aikman believed in so much that he had him introduce him at the Hall of Fame. He's a quarterback maker, and if Brandon Whedon's going to have a chance, he's going to have a chance with Norv Turner. And when I spent some time with Norv there just kicking things around, I mean, his initial reaction was, yeah, you know, I like this guy. I mean, I think he can do some things well. We have to fit our offense to his talents. And you look at, you know, you watch this guy throw the deep ball. He's a very accurate deep thrower. And again, I think when we were standing there that day when I was with you, Vic, you drew my attention to it. Then I started watching it, and it was something he pointed out. Now, something Brandon Whedon and Neuer both pointed out was footwork. That's something they're working on right now. But I think if Whedon's got a chance, and basically I think he's got 1 year to prove himself here, he's got a chance with Norv Turner. And Norv's had a lot of success as an offensive coordinator in different places. And I go back to San Francisco in 2006 when he was there in Alex Smith's second year. Alex Smith was a bust his first year. He had like one touchdown, 11 interceptions. And people were wondering in San Francisco, what did we do wrong here? They bring in Norv Turner, and he suddenly gets him to look like a credible quarterback. I mean, he was, I think, 7-9 that year, 16 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, but he suddenly looked like the quarterback that San Francisco had in mind when they made him the first pick of the 2005 draft. At least you could see that. You go, well, he doesn't look like a star yet, but at least he there's something there. And then once Norv left, he regressed, and he didn't come around until Jim Harbaugh got there. So I think he can have that impact on quarterbacks. Whether he has the same impact on Brandon Whedon, I don't know, but at least it's encouraging, and Whedon knows all about it because I spent some time with him talking about, are you aware what this guy can do? And he goes, yeah, he's my best opportunity.
And those who might have some discomfort over the idea of here we go again with a first-year head coach. Mm-hmm. They went through two seasons with Pat Shurmur. Now Rob Chudzinski shows up as a first-time head coach. Those who might be a little squeamish about that, I would think have to be comforted by the fact that, number one, Norv Turner is here along right. with Ray Horton. Number two, right. that Rob Chudzinski was able to attract them, that those two guys felt comfortable enough in their own right as elite coordinators to pick, you know, this staff to join because of what they see in Chud. I mean, that I think that's a point that maybe doesn't get made enough, is that you could take these jobs, but you don't take them just to take them. You take them because you like the guy. It's not even about like. It's you trust that you're going into a good situation with the head man.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, you look at Ray Horton. He's a guy who's on the fast track, I think, to being a head coach. I mean, he's going to be a head coach someday, and you look at him and say, hey, he's with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, so is he going to vault from defense coordinator there to a head coach? Well, you got to have some success, and obviously he's there because he believes in something. And he must believe in the players there, the head coach there, the system there, and must believe he's got an opportunity. And I think he does. I mean, I think there's some people there on the defensive side of the ball you find are attractive. And you say, you know what, I think I can win with these guys. But I look at Norv. He's been a head coach at places. I don't care what people want to say about him. He's a terrific play caller. He's had some success as a head coach. He did a lot of good things with Philip Rivers. And I mentioned the Alex Smith situation. We can go back to Brad Johnson, mm-hmm. Trent Green. I mean, they're also Troy Aikman, a lot of examples. But Chudzinski is another guy I would mention, just since we were sort of segueing here into you know, some talk about him as well. I thought he did a remarkable job down in Carolina. I really did. I mean, and you look at some of the people they had there, and you know, honestly, I'll start with the quarterback. When he came out, I was cynical and jaded, and I thought, I would never have this guy on my team. I think he's too much about me and not about the team. I still feel somewhat that way, but I thought, you can't win with him. Well, they didn't win with him, but he had an awful lot of success with him, and he tailored that offense to suit his strengths. And that showed me something about what was going on there. And, you know, Rob certainly has got a history of Norv in San Diego. Mm-hmm. He knows that area in Cleveland. He knows what people are going through. He's been there before. He's coached there. And he knows what people are feeling. So, yeah, he knows you guys are saying, yeah, here we go again. But I think you've got at least people there that you can trust and believe in because they've got the resume and they've got the pedigree.
Yeah, and the point you made about the work that Chud did with Cam Newton in Carolina is huge, because he was ahead of the curve with that too, working in all
no
that
kidding.
Read option, right, and that pistol stuff.
No kidding. I mean, and he did there what Washington did with RG3, but Washington looked at that and said, hey, if they can do that, yeah, so can we. Basically, he just turned the book back and said, we're going to do what you were doing at Auburn. We're going to suit our offense to your talents. And it worked. And then we're going to evolve and make you into a pro quarterback. But right off the bat, we're going to have you doing the stuff that you're really comfortable with. And yeah, I thought it was a great idea, and it did work. They didn't have a lot of success in terms of wins and losses, but their defense was horrible. But he put a lot of points and a lot of yards on the touchdowns on the board. Did the same thing with RG3, but you're right. I mean, that's just an example of what he can and has done.
Clark Judge from CBSSports.com joins us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Clark, you had a chance to sit down with Joe Banner, the Browns CEO, for a lengthy one-on-one conversation, and you went pretty deep with him in terms of his thoughts, big picture, small picture, whatever, on how this Browns team is going to get back into contention. Give me your biggest takeaway from that conversation.
Well, I just think he's got the right idea in terms of it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, he's the guy that's not going to say, listen, you know, we're going to put out a team this year that's going to challenge Baltimore and it's going to challenge Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. No, he says, but we're going to get this thing straight. And it's a plan that's going to be in place for, you know, 3-5 years, whatever. But we're paying attention to that. We're not paying attention to the quick fix. And I think a lot of people, and especially some people in the past in Cleveland, have gone for the quick fix. And his point is, no, that's not what we're interested in. We're interested in building something here. And they did that in Philadelphia. And that's why I guess I trust him. Whereas, you know, you hear this in other places, you go, I don't know, let's just see it work. Because it did work in Philadelphia. Now, they had a different coach. They had a quarterback in place, Donovan McNabb. But keep in mind, when they drafted him, 99, I mean, they weren't very good then. But you could see suddenly things coming together. But it wasn't a quarterback they got rid of after 1 year. They let him go and said, okay, you know, we can see, because he played the second half that year, we can see there's something here. We'll make him the starter next year. And they did. And they went to the playoffs. And then they went to conference championship game after conference championship game after conference championship game. Went to 4 straight, went to Super Bowl, 5 conference championship games in 8 years. Really a nice run of success. But stability, Joe handled, I thought, the financial side well. I mean, they basically kind of, I think they were very creative in terms of they approached players early in their contracts and said, well, we're going to identify the players we think we can build around. We'll give them long-term deals. Certainly it's got to be at some kind of savings to us, but it's going to be a good deal for them because it puts a lot of money in their pocket immediately, and it gives them a long-term deal, and there's a guarantee of continuity here. And I thought they had the right idea in mind, and it worked for a long time. And then they suddenly sort of got away from that, and you saw what happened. The whole thing blew up. But Joe's got a good reputation in and around Philadelphia. And as I said, they were successful there because of him, and especially because of Andy Reid and the players they had on the field. But I think coming away from that, I just felt like this is not a guy who's going to panic. This is not a guy who's going to say, we need to sit this guy down, we need to do this, because he's not interested in trying to go for that quick hit. He thinks that team will be successful and competitive within a year, and that's interesting to me because I don't know. I mean, I've heard that before. I don't know it can happen, but it did happen in Philadelphia, and that was my point to him. He turned it around in 2 years there when Andy got in there. Can you do it here? Yes, we can. Do you have the quarterback like McNabb? I don't know that, and I think that's a fair answer. I don't know it either. But until or unless you get that guy, I don't know that you can continue that conversation.
Yeah, that's the hard part of this. That's the X factor in all of this discussion is what's going to happen at quarterback. But based on everything else you've heard and seen in terms of what has been put in place on the defensive side and other components, and you know the rest of this division. I know you spent some time recently with the Baltimore Ravens, the defending Super Bowl champs. Do you see something in the way of a plan with the Browns that should give Browns fans, the Brown faithful, faith that they can close this gap in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, I think, as I said, there's seems to be a commitment to a fixed plan. There seems to be. And as I said, I know you've heard that before, but you've got a guy here now who's done that. You've got a guy who hasn't pushed the panic button. You've got a guy here who's been in place in one place for many, many, many years. And he's running this operation as he did that. He knows what works. And typically what you get are guys who know what worked from where they've been. And, you know, unfortunately, if you're a guy like Eric Mangini, you don't have Tom Brady, well, you're in trouble, you know, because a lot of those guys that come from New England, and I'm talking about, you know, Eric, for instance, Charlie Weiss, when he went elsewhere, Scott Pioli, if you don't have number 12, I don't care if it's Bill Belichick's system.
Right.
You're going to have trouble. Bill Belichick's going to have trouble without Tom Brady. So you look at what Banner did, and they had success mostly with McNabb, but they had success without him as well. And there is a plan that worked there that should work elsewhere because he's the guy who helped put it in place along with Andy. I mean, Andy was huge there in terms of his involvement, but so was Joe. And you know, as they sort of drifted in their own direction as the time went on, I think you saw that team drifting as well, and they've moved for the right reasons. They both need to be re-energized. I think that's one thing I took from Joe, too. I see a spark there, or maybe there wasn't in the last couple of years in Philadelphia. Those guys, honestly, when you're there for 14, 16 years, whatever it is, you know, it's probably time to move on, Vic. And I think you and I, again, we're talking about this. I do believe in that mantra that 10 years for a head coach, time to move on. 10 years should be a max. You can't sign a contract beyond 10 years. And I saw it with Andy. I just thought he lost some of the spark there. I thought Jeff Fisher did the same thing in Tennessee. Probably should. Bill Walsh left after 10 years in San Francisco for the right reasons. I mean, you just kind of get burned out.
Yeah, coaches, GMs, yeah, you hear the same thing. Clark, this was tremendous as always. We appreciate you taking the time. We look forward to catching up with you down the line.
It was great to see you out there, Vic. Thank you.
All right. He is Clark Judge from CBSSports.com. Joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we have more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.